whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
All right, my mic's back on. I got permission from Bob. It's his show, not mine. As we power through on a Friday, Dusty, you should be winning Sportsman of the Year. Won that for Lee Summit. That was a bid on Alex Gold and Cody Tapp's show. Shout out to Fred Liggett. He's the one that gave me that award. So I got to be the Sportsman of the Year in downtown Lee Summit.
Way to go.
Yeah.
Way to go, Fred.
But that's probably a lie of a story that I tell.
How bad is Carson Beck to go back to college when there's no quarterbacks in this draft?
I can debunk that.
Okay.
I think he can make more money in Miami because they're one of the biggest NIL schools. So he'll make either the same, if not a little bit more, because he wouldn't get drafted in the first round, I don't think.
You don't think with this year's quarterback class and teams desperate?
Because he was exposed this year. I know there was a lot of injuries, but he also was, and again, it's not his fault, but he had Ladd McConkey and Brock Bowers last year. And those two guys in the league against grown men as rookies were two of the best catching, you know, receivers, tight end, whatever you want to say it, in the league. I mean, Ladd McConkey was a stud. Brock Bowers, enough said. And it's like you lose those two guys and try to, you know, continue to do that. It's kind of tough to do that.
Patrick Mahomes did all right. Max Center.
Exactly.
I mean, but that's great, though, because it shows you, like, we just keep getting more evidence of why this guy is the greatest player that we've ever seen, because Carson Beck was a product of his wide receiver and tight end. They weren't a product of him.
Right.
And you want your players, your weapons, your surrounding cast to be a product of your quarterback. You don't want your quarterback to be a product of them, because if they leave, then you're up a creek without a paddle, you know?
Plus, Carson Beck's love of his life is currently a Miami citizen and plays for the Miami women's basketball team.
Right.
And there's the lead.
And there is that. But no, I think
I would move to Miami for Haley Cavender.
Yeah, of course. Fair. Who wouldn't? Right? I mean, my God, let's go. But You may be right about maybe getting more money this year.
I mean, Miami's loaded with NIL,
They are, yeah. They've got a lot
of
cash.
It's like Quinn Ewers is going to go. Why would he not go to the draft? Because he's going to go to Ohio State and rake.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you don't have to.
And there's not a lot of pressure, you know?
No.
I mean, there is, but there isn't, because whatever, I'll just go to the NFL and see what I can do after that, right? It's like a regular season game versus a playoff game. But
ride it out in college, make money, and, wait till next year.
And, you know,
because the quarterback class next year ain't good either.
No, it's not. I don't know when we're going to have another good quarterback class. Like that Drew Aller last night, that interception, man, is he going to get drafted now?
Yeah, by the Giants.
That was a great tweet. Who tweeted that out?
I'll have to find it out.
That was somebody tweeted out a picture of Aller after the interception last night with his hands on his head, looking up to the sky, screaming, "This screams New York Giants."
No, it said, "I know a New York Giant quarterback when I see one."
Yes. Giants are like, "We got to get this Drew Aller. It'll help Brian Daboll keep his job."
Mitch Holtis in about, I don't know, 15 minutes or so, 20 minutes, and I know you're listening, Mitch, so I know you're ready for a couple of Chiefs talk, because this 7 o'clock hour is loaded. With Chiefs content. And from this 913 text, "Could you guys be choking on Mahomes any harder? Just wait for this one." I'll tell you this.
God.
It's okay. It's okay. Breathe in, breathe out. Mahomes and Kelce can become the GOAT duo if they win a three-peat. You cannot argue this. And I would love for someone to tell me otherwise. You cannot argue this. A duo who's the best at both of their positions, like the best of all time. If Mahomes wins a three-peat, the conversation the next day after the Super Bowl will be like, is he now officially better than Brady? Half of the audience will say no, it needs still to catch him with the rings. That'd be 4 rings in 7 years for Patrick Mahomes as a starting quarterback. That would be a three-peat. That would be 4 rings for Travis Kelce. What does Gronk have? 4, I believe, right? 3 with New England, 1 with Tampa. So that cancels itself out. Travis Kelce, the 1,000-yard seasons, I don't need to keep going on. But that would be the GOAT duo. Not only that, we've heard Binkley say this already, that if Patrick Mahomes wins one more playoff game, he ties Montana. Ergo, if he wins the Super Bowl, he would pass Montana. He would tie with one more, pass Montana. Travis Kelce's like 300 and some change yards away.
I think it's like 340 or 330 yards away of the postseason, which he did last year in the postseason.
Played an extra game, but could still do it this year. If he passes,
if he does that this year, just let me jump in real fast. If he does that this year and goes off and passes Jerry Rice, you know he's retiring.
1,000%. So he would pass Jerry Rice as the highest postseason reception yards leader. Patrick Mahomes would pass Joe Montana and only be behind Tom Brady. Because if he goes through this playoff run and wins a 3-peat, he'd be 18-3. So, yeah. Let that factor in. 16, 17, 18. Three-game win streak if you'd have to win the Super Bowl.
He'd be 15 games above 500 in the playoffs.
In 7 years.
and so he'd be an entire season of games above 500 in the postseason.
Sorry, I'm going to keep choking on Mahomes. So as we go on, they would pass Jerry Rice and Montana, one of the best duos of all time. They're already better than Aikman and Irvin. They're already better than Peyton and Marvin. This championship, if they can complete this run of a three-peat and everything that comes with it, to me, in my opinion of a biased Homer Chiefs, you know, reporter, I guess you could call that, they would then, in my opinion, be a better duo than Gronk and Brady because, again, they would win a three-peat, never been done. Mahomes would have his fourth title in 7 years as a starting quarterback in the NFL. He'd be 18-3 in the playoffs. He would have the rest of his career to win three more rings. And even if he doesn't, he will eventually have equal, if not more, passing record numbers than Tom Brady. He will have either one shy or he'll have tied Tom Brady, I think, in titles because he'll have, what, 9 more years of football to win 3 titles. If he's won 4 and 7, I think his odds are in favor of him. And Travis Kelce would then, I think, in that point, everyone would, like, have the same consensus debate of, yes, it's Kelce, Gronk, Tony G. Those are the three tight ends. And that is something that is crazy to think that if they can go on a championship run and win it, they would solidify themselves as the two greatest combo to do it in NFL's history.
Well,
and we get to live in this time.
Yeah. Is there still question on Gronk being better than Travis?
Of course there is.
Okay. Because I haven't seen a lot of that lately. You know, I think Gronk has kind of become a footnote to a lot of things. And I really think if Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs win this Super Bowl and he three-peats, Tom Brady becomes a footnote in NFL history. And he becomes a broadcaster slash owner. And he is no longer looked at as the greatest of all time. And I don't care that he has 7 rings. Patrick Mahomes winning 3 in a row will do something that has never been done in the history, in the 105-year history of this league. I mean, maybe somebody in the Providence Steamrollers back in the day won 3 in a row or whatever it was, you know, when they first started the league. But in these modern times that we're in, since the merger, since the Super Bowl, all of that kind of stuff, nobody has done what the Chiefs are on the cusp of doing, and that's winning 3 in a row. And I think because of that, that old show used to say, is that your final answer? Yes, this is my final answer. Because my final answer is, if you do something, and it's not just something, it's 3 years of being the greatest team in the most powerful league that evolves by the minute. If you win 3 in a row in this era of the NFL as a quarterback, you are officially the greatest of all time. And I know people will say Tom Brady has 7 and Mahomes would only have 4. Mahomes is going to do something and is on the cusp of doing something that has only been dreamed about, that has only been kind of discussed, and only like Jeter and Jordan have ever done, and that's win 3 championships in a row. Nobody in the NFL has done it. So when the Chiefs win this championship and it becomes their 3rd in a row, Patrick Mahomes officially becomes the greatest quarterback of all time. And to me, there's just no debate. I don't want to hear about stats. I don't want to hear about numbers. I don't want to hear about this. Patrick Mahomes legitimately in 900 days won 3 championships, and that is all you need to know about why he's the best. And, oh, by the way, did it last year in a season where they had to go on the road and win multiple playoff games against teams that everybody thought they were going to beat, doing it with no wide receivers and no weapons, doing it, you know, with a complete changeover on the defensive side the first go-around that they did this thing. Patrick Mahomes wins in all conditions, in all circumstances, and it doesn't matter what people serve up to him. He goes out there and says, okay, that's what you're serving me tonight. I'm going to take care of business. Tom Brady went 10 years without doing anything in the National Football League. Patrick Mahomes is ready to go 3 in a row, and because of that, he becomes the greatest of all time on February 9th when they win this championship.
Well, Tom Brady did a lot in that decade.
He didn't win a championship, though.
Still went.
Still went, but didn't win.
Put up a lot of numbers.
Didn't win.
Could you imagine 18-2? What's the toughest Super Bowl to win, the first one or the third straight?
Well, I think the third straight.
Third straight.
This is hard.
And on the toughest route, they would go, if they did it, they'd go 18-2.
stay focused, Dusty.
Oh, 18-2 this year. Yeah, they'd be 18-2 this year.
I'd say, and I'd always say 18-1. I know, but I'd always say 18-1. That's what I'd always say.
Well, yeah, you got that.
You know
that.
What I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I just,
18-2.
But it is what it is.
It's what it is. Fine.
Right, fine. They would go 18-2. Mahomes' playoff record would be 18-3. Travis Kelce would have four titles. They'd win a three-peat. And Andy Reid would be solidified as probably the greatest coach of all time.
No, there's no question. The three-peat changes everything. This next month, now I'm getting about a month, right? This
month
next,
from today.
This next month has the opportunity to drastically change the perception and the way that we view the Kansas City Chiefs as a franchise, the way we view Andy Reid as a coach, the way we view Brett Veach as a GM, the way that we view Patrick Mahomes as a quarterback. It has an opportunity to drastically change over the next month with that three-peat. That three-peat is rarefied air. It's never been done before to be the first and the only in this era of the NFL to do something like this. It drastically changes everything.
Stay focused, Dusty.
You know what time it is.
Stay focused, Dusty.
That's right. He joins us on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan. You're listening to Fesco and Mac on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
We've got a new nickname for Andy Reid on the show. He's called the Outlier of Consistency. You can call him Big Red, Andy, whatever. Santa Reed. Nobody calls him that. But he is an outlier of consistency, because you were talking about this yesterday before we get to Mitch Holtis here in about 5-6 minutes. You found out a few numbers that were just kind of like eye popping, which is why we have given him this name of the Outlier of Consistency.
Yeah, this team has had, since Andy Reid took over back after that 2012 disaster of a season, they've had 12 straight winning seasons, right? 10 consecutive playoff appearances. Andy Reid's made the playoffs 11 of the 12 years that he's been in Kansas City. The only year they didn't make it was that second year that they went 9-7. Sometimes you take a step back to go forward, I guess. and so they went 11-5, then they went 9-7, took that step back. And then since then, they've been basically taking up residency in the AFC postseason and now the AFC championship game. So 10 consecutive playoff appearances. 8 consecutive conference title appearances, right? Is that, am I right by saying 8? Well, it could be 8 consecutive.
It will be 8.
Yes. Will be 8 consecutive conference title appearances.
Yeah, it will be. That's right. You're right.
And it will be 3 consecutive, you know, Super Bowl appearances for Andy Reid. But, you know, over the last, I don't know, a decade, however long it's been, with Andy Reid being at the mode of consistency, you can just see what the Chiefs are doing and why it's an outlier. Because, as we said, the Chiefs have been to 10 consecutive playoff appearances, right? That's a decade straight of being into the postseason. Oh, the NFL, everybody makes the playoffs. Do they? Buffalo is second on the list. They've been to the playoffs 6 straight years. And then you have Tampa bringing up, not the rear, but third place in 5 consecutive years in the postseason. And most of the NFL, I would say 16 teams have 0 when it says consecutive years, you know, in the postseason, because 16 teams didn't make it in. 18 teams, I guess it would have been, right? 18 teams didn't make it into the playoffs.
18 teams.
18 teams didn't make it in to the postseason. So 18 of them have 0 when it comes to consecutive years in the postseason. But the fact that the Chiefs have done it 10 straight years and the next closest is Buffalo at 6, that again should tell you the level that we're on, the situation that we're in, what we're witnessing right now, and why you can't take this for granted. And sometimes you need to just take a step back and realize what the hell's going on around you. What's going on around us right now is the greatest dynasty that we've ever seen. And it will be considered, when it's all said and done, which I don't know why it's not yet, the greatest dynasty in NFL history. Like, people want to continue to put markers and bars and all this stuff of why they're not the best yet and why it's not this and why it's not that. That's why, again, you go win this third Super Bowl, it changes the entire narrative. And there's really nothing any of these dopes on any of these daytime talk shows can say if the Chiefs go out there and win 3 straight Super Bowls.
I just find it interesting that in the toughest year that they've ever had, they go 15-2. And yet they've got that, at least in my opinion, they've been under more scrutiny from a national perspective than any other year.
You wouldn't know this is a 15-2 team if you just watched ESPN or Fox or NFL Network.
Like, it was interesting because last year they were 11-6, and it was probably the most frustrating year this team has ever had. And everyone's like, oh, I mean, that was the year.
You mean under Andy Reid, because there's been a lot of frustrating years before the 11-6 Super Bowl.
Yeah. I'm just speaking among this era of the Chiefs. And look, last year was frustrating. 11-6, a lot of drop passes. they, you know, avoided adversity and got to the Super Bowl and ended up winning it. And then this year, you know, they go on, what, a 9-game winning streak. They lose in week 11. Then they go on a 6-game winning streak and then lose where they rest all their starters. And then not the fact. The narrative isn't, hey, they went 15-2. The narrative is, oh, they threw the last game because they didn't want to play Cincinnati.
Or they didn't score enough points.
And it's like, but yet, go look at Minnesota, right? And this isn't a shot at the Vikings. The Vikings went 14-3, and they're the 5 seed, could get bounced in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because they didn't win the games that they needed to win. The Chiefs went 15-2 because they had to. They did it. And here they are, being able to rest their starters in the Week 18 game, being able to rest a week before the playoffs for them to start it, and then get to play home field. Yeah. In the toughest run of a franchise's history, where they go for a three-peat, they control their own destiny, and that's almost as impossible to do. How many times has the one seed been the same in the NFC? How many times have they called it the Philadelphia Invitational? How many times? No.
They didn't even call it the New England Invitational, because New England didn't even play a lot of those games at home. There were games in Indy. There were games in Pittsburgh. There were games in Denver throughout that course of that Patriots alleged dynasty that had a 10-year gap of nothingness. And so you had like those AFC championship games scattered around. We've hosted all but one.
In 7 years.
That's right.
Well, I guess 6 years.
Yeah.
Mahomes has played in 6 consecutive AFC championship games, Andy Reid as well, and they're 5-1. And the only one they lost to, obviously against...
And they just weren't ready at that.
I guess he's got two losses. Two losses, yeah. My bad, two.
The first one, they just weren't ready. The defense wasn't there. That was the first year on the scene. Fine. The second year, we know what happened with Cincinnati.
Yeah, the first one, they got beat. Tom Brady and the GOAT beat you.
I mean, they went scoreless in the first half of that game and still almost won that football game, right? You know, Patrick Mahomes doesn't take a sack right before halftime. They get a field goal. Boom, you win that football game. And we're talking about a completely different dynasty.
No doubt.
Than we are right now. But again, I mean, you know, you set yourself up to have success. That's the job of a head coach. Put your players in position to be successful. Set your team up to have success. And that's what Andy Reid has done. And then you get people like RG3, who I think has some of the worst sports takes I've ever seen. Like, that guy played in the NFL and clearly doesn't know a whole lot about the NFL when I read some of his sports takes about the Chiefs and him complaining about them resting the players. Because RG3, I would imagine, if he was on a team and it's July and they say our goal is to get to the end of the season where we can rest all of our players and not have to play anybody in that last game of the season because we have everything wrapped up, I guarantee you RG3 would be all in on that and be like, yeah, that's the way to go. Let's do it. Now that he's some commentator somewhere, he's got some really bad takes. The worst takes about the Kansas City Chiefs have come from guys who have played in the NFL.
Stay focused, Dusty. Stay focused, Dusty.
Speaking of worst takes, this guy has some of the best takes about the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch Holt, his time on 96.5 The Fan.
He's been the voice of Chiefs Kingdom since 1994.
Damian Williams, 20, stays in bounds, 15. City, Damian Williams runs to immortality.
Here's Mitch Holtis on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
That's right, Mitch Holtis, brought to you by Silverstein Eye Centers. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Centers. It's also brought to you by GEHA. GEHA is the proud partner of the Kansas City
Chiefs.
What
did Stank say last week? Remember, we were talking about Schlereth. What did he? Oh, Detroit was best positioned to win in the Super Bowl or something like that. Something really asinine. Like, I'm not kidding, Dusty. The more I hear from like former players on TV talk about the Chiefs, the more I wonder, like, what are you watching? Like, do you even have a clue about the game?
Mitch, do you want to tell Bob to stay focused?
I don't have to tell Bob to stay focused. He's focused. He's not always focused on the right thing, but he's focused, Dusty.
Yeah. No. But I think you're sitting there listening to me going, preach, Bob, preach.
I think this year, have we not heard more preposterous stuff?
I know, that's what I'm saying. Stank, RG3, Dan Orlovsky, like everybody. It is preposterous.
Well, and I wonder if just some producer sitting there in a production meeting going, you know, let's clickbait this. We know Chiefs are immediate clickbait. Why don't you just jump in there and say something stupid about the Chiefs, and that'll get all kinds of activity going. I thought that it was the highest level in 22, which you know, that predicated me saying you can doubt, dislike, disrespect, you got to deal with the Chiefs. That came oozing out that season because of the stuff that was said about Tyreek Hill and the Chiefs are done. And
yep.
But I think we've eclipsed it this year, you guys. I just every day I'm seeing something, hearing something, seeing something of like, oh my gosh, what are we doing here? So, but it's all good. That just fuels this team.
Yep.
It fuels Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and the rest of this team. It's actually a motivator. So I guess let her rip.
Yeah.
We could get frustrated. Just let them get motivated.
Mitch, I want to ask you this question because there's a lot of young and successful players on this team that have only been in the league 2, maybe 3 years, heck, maybe even 4. What's that say for you?
Dusty, Matt McMullen and I, earlier this week, we did a Defending the Kingdom podcast, and we jump into this for like 40 minutes. But it's an equation that we put together of E squared equals question mark and trying to solve for the variable here. But the E squared is, first of all, an unusual amount of youthful, successful playoff experience. Let me just give you a couple of examples. The defensive backs, the 9 defensive backs on the current Chiefs roster going into the playoffs are a collective 39-2.
And,
yeah.
Oh, and my God.
Now, hang on. This gets better. The 2 losses are Justin Reed's when he was a Houston Texan. And one of those was to the Kansas City Chiefs in the 51-31 comeback from 24-7 game.
Uh-huh.
More. The offensive line is 44-6 in the playoffs. And 3 of those 6 are Joe Tooney Patriot losses. And so another one is the linebackers. The linebackers are 21-3 in the playoffs. And one of those is a Joshua Uche New England loss. Another one is a Drew Tranquil Charger loss. And then there's the now become obvious ones of Mahomes, obviously being 15-3 and the best QBR in NFL history in the playoffs. And then what Kelce has done is just stupid crazy. 165 catches, better than any pass catcher ever. He's zooming in on all of Jerry Rice's postseason records. So there's just this amazing amount of successful playoff experience. That's the first E. The second E, which I think is an interesting discussion this morning, and I focus my minute with Mitch that I know Dusty watches every week on KSHB, Channel 41.
Every week?
I know you do. It's called appointment viewing. It's so awesome. Mm-hmm. There are 3 guys. This is the energy. DeAndre Hopkins has played in this league, you guys, 13 years. He's never won in the divisional playoff round. He's only won 2 wild card games. And the last playoff game D-Hop had was against the Chiefs as a Houston Texan in the 51-31 game back in 2019. Kareem Hunt, remember, dismissed from the team. What, early December of 2018, missed all of this fluff and stuff that's happened since then. He's never won in the divisional playoff round. He's got 1 playoff game. Hollywood Brown has got 1 playoff win in 6 years. He's never won in the divisional playoff round. I think that brings a surge of energy. You combine that with the experience that the Chiefs have with a young team. Here's another nugget. Last year, the Chiefs were the youngest team to win back-to-back Super Bowls in NFL history. Mm. That's what you carry into the playoffs in January of 25. And I'm not sure I've heard Dan Orlovsky say any of that. But
no.
That's just another matter.
But that doesn't get you to click on it. Speaking of the dumb, Mitch, and there was a lot of dumb this week around the team and around the national media saying that they threw the game on purpose to not see Cincinnati.
Yeah.
To me, hearing RG3, who played in the league, say this makes me wonder, did you really play in the league if you have those comments? Because every player wants to set themselves up to have these buys. And it's former players talking about this kind of stuff. Like, when are people going to realize, like, the Chiefs don't give a rip of who they play, where they play, and how they play them. They're just going to beat your ass.
Ugh. I mean, these guys are making Lloyd Christmas look smart, right?
So the owner of the Raiders?
But, yeah. Is he the new owner of the Raiders? I didn't know. Last I saw him, he was like, hit the bird with the cork of the champagne bottle and killed the bird at the fundraiser.
You'll have to excuse my friend. The place you're looking for is 3 miles that way.
that way. oh my gosh, the ludicrous factor has grown. But there's just some real strength for this Chiefs team going into the playoffs. And the rest versus rust thing, I mean, we can get into that. I've been hit with that on national shows too, and I'm going, whoa, stop. These guys have played more games than any team by far, especially in the last six seasons. But even the group, the bulk of this group, which has played the last three, you're talking 58 games that they played. Now, this rest will be used wisely.
Yeah.
By this team, they already are. I mean, they're going to be up and running today. Now they're cooking today. They'll use it and be ready to go. So don't hit me with that one.
But why do people, though, Mitch, like at the beginning of the year, talk about how important it is to get that bye? Then they get the bye, and everybody goes, "Well, they're going to be rusty." I just don't know.
Yeah, well, you want to give back the
like
bye,
the
then?
Swallows returning from Capistrano, Mitch. It's the same thing every year.
Oh my gosh, you know what? We have the bye, but we're going to forfeit that. We want the 7 seed because that would be on the road, and we'll get all rid of all the rust
right
that has been there since the 4 hours of rest that this team has had. So now, I mean, we've said it before, the bye in the NFL might be the most coveted thing to achieve of any of the major sports in the regular season because it's a one and out. I mean, you're playing best of three, best of five, best of seven in baseball, same in the NBA, same in the NHL. You don't have that in this. This is a one and out like the NCAA tournament. And so, yeah, take the bye, move it, use it. The Chiefs are. They will.
I want to bring this up to you as we're talking to Mitch Holthus.
I was going to tell you this, though, too. Here's another stat on Mahomes will have the previous quarterback that had the longest rest from his last regular season game to the playoffs was 22 days, and that was Warren Moon in 1993. Lost to the Chiefs in the divisional playoff round that year. Mahomes will break that record. He'll have 23 days since his last game until he plays against whomever our opponent's going to be. So, yeah, take that one. Orlovsky will like, oh, my God, that means he'll never win. So, not so much. But that's another rest versus rest nugget that the knuckleheads can chew on.
Yeah, it's all Mahomes rest versus rust. But Jalen Hurts over here, who I don't think has played a game in a month, he doesn't get any sort of conversation like that. Mitch, I want to bring this up because – coaching, obviously, huge in the playoffs. Andy Reid has a bye. Like, how does Andy Reid use this time, or how does he kind of get the guys ready with the bye week? Because obviously, we piggyback on the rest versus rust. It's not like they're not going to be practicing, you know, like they normally would, or going through the reps that they normally should during this playoff run that they're so, equipped to going through.
Bob, what'd you do to get him focused? Because that's an awesome question.
I put it on the sheet.
It must be playoff time. You put it on the sheet. Nice. That's a great tactic. What a great strategy.
Yeah, thank you.
Andy.
Hey, I'm coaching my guy. I'm the Andy Reid of this show now, Mitch, okay? Got to coach my guys.
That's two things. And there's a big – Andy Reid, part of his genius is coaching coaches. I mentioned last week in the Week 18 game, he'll give responsibilities. Well, Week 18 game that – you can't move the needle. We've seen it years and years, the several years they've had it, where he'll give coaching responsibilities to younger coaches. We covered that. But here's where that continues. The coaching academy continues because basically he'll divide up the staff. You have four possible opponents. Now, we've played every one of these since, the 8th of December. That's unique as well. We played the entire AFC field.
Yep.
We played 8 of our 17 games against the whole tournament, but we played everybody in this tournament. Even going back, it's the Chargers game. So you're talking since December the 10th, we played everybody. So it's pretty fresh, but he'll divvy up the staff by fours, and everybody look, we'll create little teams and then watch all four of these games. But the other thing, and I think this is unique to this year, Dusty, you asked a question, is the fact that this sets up a second training camp because Samaje Perine wasn't at camp. DeAndre Hopkins wasn't at camp. Juju Smith-Schuster wasn't at camp. And it's not the physical nature of getting in shape. You don't do that at this time of year. But what you do is refine what you've got, add to what you have. Because when you're in the throes of just getting week to week to trying to win, and especially the nutty 3 and 11 days, you're just doing things tyranny of the urgent. This gives you a chance, this bye week and this kind of mini training camp, to back up, look at everything, and then we're going to add this. And you have time to get that installed and rep it, as well as review everything you have. So this is extremely valuable time, especially with this team. is there are so many key guys that were not in St. Joseph.
You mentioned the three games in 11 days, and it got me thinking. Those three games in 11 days, for a lot of people, could have been the end of their season, right? And, oh, we got to do this. We got to deal with that. They think about it all year. It gets in the way. Andy does a great job of making them focus on the moment. But I would say those three games in 11 days, those are the three best games maybe they've played all year.
That's where it's impressive. And I don't know if Dan Orlovsky said that or not.
Probably not, because it makes sense.
Well, Rex Ryan, he's going to be like, he's...
God, I hope the Jets hire him. Please do that.
We can now have a convention of these guys. They would not be at Pooch's in Smith Center. They couldn't even get to the boundaries of Smith County. But the fact that... where are we at? I got off track.
I don't know. But, oh, 3-11. Go, 3 games in 11 days. They play their best football.
Yeah. So, no, good point.
Thank you.
Because we're looking at Pittsburgh and Houston, that little stretch right there, I mean, they're going to have to rally to win these games because most everyone is picking their opponent to beat them in the first round of the playoffs. Well, that 3-11 pretty much roughed up the Steelers to the point where our perception of the Steelers is completely different nationally than it was prior to that 3-11. Then the same with the Texans. And they're losing Tank Dell, got it. But think of the perception of Houston prior to the 3-game in 11 days and then what it is now. I mean, most people think it's going to be a big upset if they beat the Chargers tomorrow. So, yeah, you're right. And here's Andy Reid that takes it, uses it, and it's a testimony to the guys on this team that their best football was during the most challenging of times. But aren't we seeing the attributes of what we've seen from the Chiefs, especially in this last 2 years? And we can go back to their other playoff success, that it seems like when it's the toughest, they figure this out. Down 10, down 10, down 10. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that, of course, is Patrick Mahomes. It's the way the cats wire.
You know, you mentioned, you know, the Chargers this weekend. We've all been there in sports. These guys are kind of creatures of habit. What do you think about the Rams and the Chargers this weekend with everything that they have to deal with from a human side out there in California?
Well, it could be May or April, and it's horrible. But now you're in the playoffs and dealing with this, and it's got to be a gigantic distraction. Plus, but I don't want to say that as trying to diminish this disaster, because if it was in May, it would be brutal on these guys and gals and the people that work in that area. And the other part of it is they're going, well, their home's not up in the main area of the fire. Think about the air quality now in that basin. L.A. sits down in a basin. You know this. Mm-hmm. And so the air quality is going to be affected by these fires for quite a while. And so that comes into play as well. But to worry about is, where are my loved ones? Are my loved ones taken care of? Where's my, you know, my lifelong accumulation of things that I want to keep? These players have memorabilia, whether from the college days or the pro days. Where's all that? What do we do with all that? And will I have a place when I come back? I've seen that quote from several players. It's just, it's rough. Wow. And prayers up, man. Yeah. Prayers up for these guys. But for the Rams and Chargers in particular, a lot of these guys have temporary homes, just like a lot of our guys do here. Their base of operations is somewhere else. But they've got, but still, where they're living right now, all of it's affected in the entire LA area, if not directly by the fire, by air quality.
Mm. Mitch, if you had to guess, who are they going to play in the second round?
Who knows, Dusty? I still think Houston's going to pull this out for whatever reason.
I think so, too.
Well, C.J. Stroud has something that Herbert does not. You know what that is?
Postseason win.
Thank you. Yeah, Stroud won last year.
But Orlovsky will tell you how great, you know, Herbert is.
He is great.
Justin Herbert's played one playoff game. One.
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 One. And blew a huge lead.
One. So we're at 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. We're in his fifth season. He has one playoff game that he did not win. Look what Pat did from 18, 19, 21, 22 in his first 5 years as a starter. So I think Herbert's good. I think Harbaugh's good. That'll give him the best chance. But it's all about J.K. Dobbins and running the ball. If Houston can somehow mitigate the run game of Dobbins, then they'll have a shot. Because I think Stroud will play better. And I think there's enough time now where they've been able to at least deal with the shock of the Tank Dell injury to figure out, hey, we got to move on here. Who knows with the Bills Broncos? Broncos are going to get ornery with those guys. They'll get real ornery. And still, Buffalo's got to prove they can stop people. They would have lost to the New England Patriots in that first game if there wasn't that crazy lateral pass for an easy touchdown. That's a 24-21 game, and basically 10 of those points were handed to Buffalo. So New England moved the ball on the Bills. So I think, you know, Denver's going to make that really interesting. And I just don't know how much juice the Steelers have. Mm-hmm. And I think Baltimore's playing really good football. So that one seems to be more of the obvious one. The other two, a little murky.
All right, Mitch. Well, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the week off and then get ready to get into Mitch Holtis, the real season of Mitch Holtis as the voice of the Chiefs. We appreciate the time, Mitch.
You got it. And the skill guys on this team, well, overall, the Chiefs will take 290 playoff wins on their roster into the postseason. And they will do it. They will do it with one of the youngest teams in the league and the youngest team to ever win back-to-back. We're chasing history, boys. This is getting real.
This
it's
is getting
real, and we're in the middle of it.
Stay focused,
Gammy Goosebumps,
Stay
Mitch.
Focused, Mitch.
Okay. All right.
Take care.
Thanks, Dusty.
You bet.
Thanks, Bob.
You got it. Mitch Holtis there with Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan and Mac. Silverstein Eye Centers. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Centers, brought to you by GEHA. GEHA is the proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. London games have been announced.
They have?
That's right.
Oh, cool. Tell me. I don't want to know.
Spoiler alert. Jacksonville is playing in London.
No!
Come back. Wow. We'll get you the teams and the players, and not teams and players, but the teams that have been announced that are going to play in London. Feel bad for across the pond. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Diving right back into it here on 96.5 The Fan. In case you have missed it or you're focusing on the roads, which I hope you are, it definitely looks like a postcard Christmas scene outside.
Yeah, it's nice.
My windows.
Yeah.
It's peaceful.
Very nice. Not a lot of people driving this hour of the day either.
So the games necessarily haven't been announced in London, but the teams so far that we know that are going to be going there.
Okay, so do they give you the matchups or anything?
No matchups, just the names of the teams that are going to be at least going to London that we know of.
Of the home teams or of everybody?
I don't know. Nobody's home in London except Jacksonville.
Jacksonville
is going to be going to London.
It was really weird, though. Like, we were in London 2 years ago, and there weren't many NFL fans, obviously. It was April. You didn't see a lot. But I did see, like, two people in Jacksonville gear. And I'm like, well, sure. I guess it's working.
They've adopted their team.
Yeah. Well, they're going to eventually move there.
Jacksonville's going to play in London. The Jets are going to play in London.
Now we're sending everybody we don't want over there.
It gets better. The Cleveland Browns are also playing in London.
So I'm going to guess those are the three home teams then over in London.
I mean, I guess.
Well, Jags usually play twice.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah, yep. They'll play 2 weeks in a row.
Yep. They'll play over there, usually as a home and a visitor,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I think so.
So the Browns are moved one of their games. Who did you say was the third team? The Jets. So
Jets.
The AFC has the extra game, obviously, this year then, so that's why those three teams are the home teams.
Other than the Titans, those are the three worst AFC
teams. Would that
teams.
Be a bucket list for you to go to London to watch the Chiefs if they were to ever do it? I would love it. Because football season at the same time as the EPL. So you could
that's a good point.
You could knock two things out. A trip to across the pond,
that's true.
And you could go watch like Chelsea, Man U, you know, Tottenham, whoever you want to go watch over there. I would love it.
If I
had the affordable account to do it, I would definitely go to London and knock out a Chiefs game and knock out like an EPL game.
You could have done it in 2015.
I was still in college.
Oh, all right. I think that's
no, I wasn't. I was gone by then. I was a first year here.
Yeah, so that's the year the Royals, you know, won the World Series. They played in London. Nobody watched the game because it was the morning of the World Series, and everybody was kind of focused on that. So I think that's the last time they played as a home team in London. Look, I have changed so much on these international games because originally I was like, no, we can't move these games overseas. We got to make sure every market here in the United States is stable and taken care of and, you know, all that. Because at the time it was like St. Louis and Buffalo and Jackson, all these places that were just kind of struggling. And I'm like, we're going to focus on, you know, London to play a game in London. I said, I don't like this. And, you know, I really didn't like it when the Chiefs did it back in 2015, because I'm like, man, you're taking money out of the hands of the vendors and all the people who work on game day, right? Like, that's a payday that you're taking away from like 800 mm-hmm. people. And so I was like, yeah, I'm not a huge fan of that. But the older I've gotten and the more I've, you know, kind of opened my mind, I think, a little bit more, I really do like these international games. And I would love to be able to go watch the Chiefs on the road play in one of these international games. We looked into the Germany game last mm-hmm. year, and then you see the price tag. I'm like, well, I could buy a house for what they want to charge, you mm-hmm. know, to go watch these games overseas right now. No, I think it would be really cool to be able to do something like that, to see your team on the road. And I know some people that have gone to these overseas games. They say they're great.
Yeah, so we got Germany, London, Mexico City, Brazil. Those are the four so far.
And I think they're talking about Spain this year
okay.
as another country.
Wow. Which one is the one that you're wanting to go to the most?
Well,
Germany, since you thought about it, what I would assume would probably be
no. I've always wanted to go to Spain. You know, I grew up, and my best friend growing up was from Spain, directly from Spain. I was kind of, I don't want to say raised in that culture, but when you're down at your friend's house all the time, you kind of, mm-hmm. you know, pick it up. And I've always loved the, you know, the Spanish culture and Spain and the food and everything that goes. So Spain for me right now would, but Germany's not far behind, because I want to go, like, you know, during Oktoberfest and, you know, have myself a time. That's yes. like, that's retirement bucket list for me, is Oktoberfest. The first year I'm retired, Oktoberfest. I don't have to worry about football or anything, right? So, but I'd love to do that. So Germany and Spain would be, I'm not, you know, Not jonesing necessarily to go to Brazil, or jonesing to go to, you know, Mexico City or something like that. I'm a big fan of Europe. I like the European culture. I love the Spanish culture. I love to see a game in Germany and their culture over there. I think that would be kind of cool. So I would kind of rank it like that. I'd probably go Spain, Germany, London, Brazil, and then Mexico City after that.
Momo?
Yeah, I think I'd go Spain first, too. I think Spain, Barcelona specifically, is like, I've never been out of the country, but that's the number one place that I want to go.
Also a place you go check out a game? Like a footy game?
Yes, exactly, yeah.
And yeah, then, the Bundesliga, you know, in Spain would be outstanding, yeah.
And I think London second, but my brother went to the Germany game last year. He said it was awesome.
Oh, did he?
So, yeah, he said it was fantastic, cool, yeah.
I just thought it was awesome. They show the Germany game with Miami, and all those fans had like big steins of beer.
Yeah.
I was like, hell yeah, dude.
That's awesome.
Man, I think I would go London, Germany, Spain. Either one.
In London, they play the game on the other side of the field, though. It's reversed.
Okay. Damn it. But man, Brazil though, man, the women that'd be in that's good, a little easy.
There's good women everywhere.
Yeah, of course.
St. Louis.
No, oh no, there's beautiful women in St. Louis.
He can't help it.
Oh, yeah. You just come on.
I kid.
Toasted raviolis in St. Louis too.
You can find that anywhere. Throw a couple ravioli in a fryer, call it a day.
Emo's Pizza.
That's crap.
Okay.
So good.
The Hill? Can't find that anywhere.
No, you can't. The Hill's good. There's some good places.
You've heard about The Hill, haven't you, Mac?
I'm not.
It's like an Italian getaway.
Like some of the best. It really does feel like you're in Italy when you're up there.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't hear about that. My sister went to school in St. Louis for college, graduated, and that's like the one thing she wanted from my dad and my stepmom. She's like, can you take me to The Hill? And they're like, yes. Like,
okay,
so
cool.
Yeah, The Hill. It's supposed to be super, super awesome. I need to get out there sometime soon. So it is almost 8 o'clock. We come back on the other side. The script, no Chiefs. Playoff football, though. Going to be fun. 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Mac Morey on 610. Nope. 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.